Matthew chapter 27 this morning. Matthew chapter 27, we're getting reading in verse number 33. Matthew 27, verse 33. The Bible says, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha," that is to say, a place of the skull, "they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land and under the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Let's look to the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you so much that you are a prayer-answering God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are our strength and you are our joy. And Father, I ask now that you do that which I cannot. Please, would you reveal yourself this morning? Would you make the preacher and the congregation one that we'd hear from heaven, that you'd be uplifted, you'd be glorified, and you'd be honored as we come to this Lord's table even this morning as in remembrance of you. Oh God, may it be clear, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, as we come here on Resurrection Sunday morning, the world calls it Easter Sunday and a lot of things associated with that. But this morning, we're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we come to Matthew chapter number 27, we want to talk this morning about the crucifixion of Christ. Very wonderful occasion today, and yet very sober occasion as we see the Scripture in light of that crucifixion. There's an old song, many of you are familiar with, I'm sure, that has these lyrics. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it should cause us to stand in awe and tremble at what took place 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. As I read Matthew chapter 27 prayerfully and considered the account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, one word kept coming to my heart and my mind. Rejection. Psalm 118 verse 22 says this of Jesus Christ. It says, "The stone which the builders refused," oh, Jesus was that stone, they refused him, "is become the headstone of the corner." The world rejected Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll say the world still rejects Jesus Christ. But there are those, as Jesus' sweet Spirit is calling, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are those who come to the call of Christ and receive Him as personal Savior. Those people are in the true church, which is called His bride. It's His beloved. You see. And as we come to this passage this morning in light of the Lord's table, we want to certainly remember what He has done. We want to remember who He is. And the fact that He loves every single one in the room so much that He stretched out His hands on a cruel cross, shed His blood for you and for me. As we come to verse 37 here in the book of Matthew, it said, and now let me set this thing up first. As we come into Matthew chapter 20, verses 33 through 50, there was a false accusing of Jesus Christ. There was a mock trial, so to speak, before Pontius Pilate. They lied about the Son of God, said that He did all these things wrong when He had no sin at all. And now we come up to verse 37. They had already crucified Him as we come into this. And Pilate has this sign put above the Son of God. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Folks, He got one thing right, didn't He? Amen. Jesus Christ is certainly the King of the Jews. In Psalm 47:2, He's King over all the earth. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, the Bible calls Him the King of Heaven. In Psalm 23 and verse 1, He's the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. In Genesis 49:10, He's Shiloh, and that fulfillment of that prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, He's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 1, He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. Isaiah 49 and verse 6, He's a light to the Gentiles. Job 19 and verse 25, He's Job's Redeemer, you see. Isaiah 11, verse 10, He's the root of Jesse. Isaiah 57, and verse 15, He's the high and lofty one, don't miss it, that inhabiteth eternity. Do you know what inhabiteth means? He lives in eternity, you see. Isaiah 7, and verse 14, He's Emmanuel, God with us. John 1, and verse 29, He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 2, He's the author and finisher of our faith. Revelation 1, and verse 11, He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. John 1 and verse 1, He's the Word of God. Amen. And verse 3 says, all things were made by Him. There was not anything made that was made, except it be by Him, folks. He is not just the Redeemer, the one who died on the cross, like the world may think. No, 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 no. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God, that's who died on the cross. Says Titus 2 and verse 13, calls Him the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 and verse 16 calls Him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May I say this morning that the God that created everything and that who is stepped out of eternity for 33 years, ladies and gentlemen, to be our Savior, to identify with us and be our Savior. Number one, we see His person. Number two this morning, I want you to see, we're going to talk about His purpose. What's the purpose in all this? Here He is dying on the cross. Here He is suffering. What purpose could be fulfilled here? Well, in the very accusation, the Bible says, this is Jesus. That was the sign above Him. See, the sign above Him was the criminal's offense. Pilate couldn't put anything real there, so that's what he put. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The word Jesus means Savior. Matthew 1 and verse 21 says, and she, that's Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, Savior, for He shall save His people from their sins. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Mankind is lost and in sin. In need. And the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages. Hey, listen. When you go to work, you work for wages. The wages of sin, what we earn from sin, is death. That's talking about spiritual death in a place called hell. Forever. And here we have Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And before that cross, before this took place, you had, of course, you had the mock trial. You had the chief priests and the Pharisees. Folks, that's the religious people of the day. Religion won't save your soul, friend. The only thing that'll save your soul is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't care whether you're Catholic, I don't care whether you're Lutheran, whether you're Baptist, or whether you're Presbyterian, whether you're Muslim, whether whatever you are, the only thing that'll save a soul from hell is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you saying, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life, and I'm going to serve you and love you, even if it kills me. I want you, God. That's salvation. Salvation is not something we do in religion. Salvation is a person. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. That's something to shout about. That's something to be joyful about. That's something to get up in the morning, have a spring in your step, you see. Jesus Christ. Those chief priests and those Pharisees blindfolded our precious Lord. They blindfolded him. They punched him in the face. They spit in his face. They ripped out his beard. Pilate had him scourged with a cat of nine tails, a big whip with nine tails on it that had glass and bone in that thing. They put the Son of God, whether they hung him or put him down on a big piece of wood, I don't know what. But a trained executioner whipped him with that cat of nine tails and put furrows. That thing would come down on his back, but that wasn't the bad part. It's when he ripped that thing and put those furrows in his back. The Roman scourging was one of the most horrible things that you could go through. But it was considered an act of mercy before they put him on the cross. Why? Because the victim would die sooner. Yeah. He did that to Jesus Christ. They dressed him up like a king and mocked him and spit on him. Imagine, in the beginning, God, that's the one they dressed up like a king and mocked him and spit upon him. Put a crown of thorns on his head, said, oh, you're a real king. Folks, he was a real king.
Amen.
He was a real king showing us how we ought to live and how we ought to act in humility and a bowed knee and a bowed heart before all. You see? They laid him on a cross. They put nails through his hands and through his feet. And the book of Isaiah says in Isaiah 52 and verse 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage, that's his face, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. When they put Jesus Christ on that cross, it was a quivering piece of human flesh that was unrecognizable as human. That's how bad it was. Wasn't these little pictures that we see with Jesus on the cross and this little bit of blood? No, it was an absolute horrible thing. And the Bible says in verse 36, and I meditated on this as I thought, as I prepared for this message, and as I meditated on my Savior, the Bible says, and sitting down, they watched him there. Wonder what they were thinking. They watched him there. Folks, you and I ought to do a little bit of watching in there in our hearts and our minds as we meditate on God's Word. It'll change your life. It'll change your perspective, you see. And for the next 3 hours, he was mocked and taunted by the chief priests and the scribes and everybody else. Everything that man could throw at him as an accusation and as taunting. Beside the agony of the crucifixion, he had all this rejection and hatred that man could throw at him. And at the sixth hour, 12 o'clock noon, darkness went across the land. Darkness that probably could be felt, that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And that there is when the transaction between the Father and the Son took place. Isaiah 53 verses 10 and 11 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul, don't miss it, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus Christ's soul was made an offering for you and for me. Amen. For our sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see, don't miss it, God the Father shall see the travail of his soul. Don't miss it. This is glorious. And shall be satisfied. God the Father is satisfied with what Jesus Christ did on the cross so that we might be drawn unto Christ and go to heaven with Him someday.
Amen.
That's what it is. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ was made sin. All the anger and wrath of God against sin was hurled on the Savior that day. On the blessed substitute. Folks, He was our substitute. We deserved everything He was getting, but He said, "No, sir, I'll take it. I'll take it." May I say this? We saw His person, but that's His purpose. That's His purpose this morning. You see, I remember Amish guy called me up and he said, Ben, he said, I got a big tree for you to up in Toff Trees. I need you to take a look at. And big old white pine. Of course, we got there in the parking lot and big old cracks up this white pine. And I praise the Lord, it didn't fall before that. We ended up taking this tree down. Of course, Kyler and I were there. We got the tree down and everything. And we're looking at the stump. And I want to tell you, it was all, it was rotten and everything else. And of course, the Amish guy says, yeah. He says, boy, that could have snapped off. And anybody, that could have hurt anybody. And he was going on like that. And it led us to a conversation to the brevity of life and how we don't know what's going to happen to us. And had an opportunity to say, hey, yeah, what do you believe about heaven and about hell and about the Bible? And he said something like this. He says, oh, we believe the Bible. And he says, I sure hope I'm going to heaven. That's what he told me. He says, I try to keep the Ten Commandments best I can. I said, but we can't keep the Ten Commandments. Sure. He goes, oh, I know. He says, we can't. He says, but our preachers preach that if we keep 90%, if we keep God's commandments 90% of the time, we'll be almost sure to go. That's what he said. And he says, and you get down to 60%, buddy, you're really looking bad. And 30%, he says, you're going to hell. That's what he told me. I said, sir, now you've got to understand this, man. We know the scripture. We know what God says. And so we can sit and laugh about this. But I want to tell you something. I saw a man that didn't know and it was in darkness. And it burdened my soul. I said, sir, and I just couldn't hardly contain myself. I said, dear sir, I said, can I please just let me tell you about what the Bible says about this? Well, sure, he says, go ahead. I said, listen, even if you kept 99.999999%, I said, you'll still go to hell.
Right.
Because we've fallen short of God's standard. Every one of us. Every one of us. Jesus Christ paid dearly, don't miss it, for all of our sins. You see, God is satisfied 100% with what Jesus did, and with not 1% of what we do. You see, the reason that a Christian wants to do right and wants to please God, and everybody says, oh, that's good what these people do. That's good what this do. We do good. We do good. We do good. Yeah, listen, a true born-again believer does good because he is saved, not so he can be saved.
Right.
Does that make sense this morning? He wants to do good because he has a love relationship with Jesus Christ and he'll do anything that Jesus Christ wants because Jesus Christ is worthy and he loves him. Does that make sense this morning? No matter how good you are, God calls it filthy rags. All our righteousnesses, all those things we do are like filthy rags. No man's goodness, even 90%, carries a stitch of weight when you stand before God. A man will trust Jesus Christ alone. And folks, I can't hardly stand it, but when I say this, I say it tenderly, or he'll burn in hell forever.
Amen.
You see, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's not trusting Jesus and, like the Amish, trusting Jesus and doing good. No. He wants all the credit. Amen. He deserves all the credit. He did it all. Doesn't matter how much I can keep. It's about him. Nope, I'm going to heaven today because I trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not what I've done at all. Number one is purpose. Number one is person. Number two is purpose. And number three, his people. Now, I want you to think back to Luke chapter 23. We all know when we think of the thieves on the cross, we know one of them repented, right? We've heard that. We know about that. Okay? And Jesus said to him, to that thief in the book of Luke, he said, listen, today you'll be in paradise with me, because he repented. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ hung there on that cross with that thief, I've got a question for you. Do you think Jesus knew what that thief was going through that day? Do you think he knew how those nails felt through his hands and through his feet? Isn't it amazing that the God of all the universe, the one that is high and lofty, that inhabited eternity, can identify with a common criminal? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's what Jesus Christ has done. I think back with me the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. How do you think he felt about that? How do you think Jesus felt about that? Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. He was denied three times by one of his best men, Peter. People ever let you down? Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. Jesus Christ was rejected by his very own brothers, by his very own nation, by his very own people. He had been betrayed, denied, rejected, falsely accused. Listen, I'm going to ask you something. Do you ever feel that way? I was talking to a farmer. I was cutting some trees down around his fence out in his field. And he says, you know what really bugs me, Ben? He says, I believe in God. He says, I understand all this. He says, but what really gets me is all those hypocrites that go to church. I put my head down and I said, yeah. I said, I'm one of those hypocrites, I said. He says, that's what keeps me away from church. He says, it's all the hypocrites. And he says, and I said, listen, I said, but sir, don't let the hypocrites keep you away from the Savior. Okay, I told him, I said, Mike, I tell you what. I said, I'm a hypocrite, and that's why I need Jesus. That's why I need him. I'm going to try not to be a hypocrite. Let's be real. We want to please the Lord. I understand that. But that's why we need him, you see. And here the Lord Jesus Christ was denied by Peter. People feel that. In Matthew chapter 27, he was rejected by his very own brothers. And Psalm 139 and verse 2 says this. God says this. He says, David said this of his Lord. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou knowest my thoughts afar off. Jesus Christ knows what you're going through today, and he can identify with you. Do you ever feel rejected? Denied? Heartbroken? Why is this happening? What's going on? Jesus knows. He cares. You see. But there's another word that comes to mind this morning before we close into our communion service, the Lord's Supper here this morning, is the word regret. The word regret. Between you and God this morning, do you have things that you regret in your life? I sure do. Foolish things I've done, I've said, selfish things, sinful and selfish attitudes that you say, boy, if I could go back and change it, I'd do that. Regret. And you might think that Jesus couldn't possibly understand your foolishness and the messes that you've got yourself into. You think he couldn't understand it? Because he's perfect, he's sinless. No, I got myself in this mess. Listen to God's word, Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6. He's despised and rejected of men. Don't miss it. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Here it is. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Guys, ours. Not his own. He didn't have any sin. He didn't have any regrets. He carried ours. He already did. Child of God. He became sin for us. He identified with us. He felt the shame, the grief of all of our wrong choices. And he did it because he loves us. He loves you. That is it. In light of that cross, in light of his wonderful, unending love that he's displayed here in his cross, let's prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper this morning. Let's analyze our hearts. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, We shall not be judged. What's the preacher saying this morning? Folks, if you're not in fellowship with the Lord this morning, child of God, confess it and get in fellowship with Him. As we take the Lord's table. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And we're going to, in just a moment, we're going to bow for prayer. And then we're just going to have a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for this. Folks, we practice open communion here. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're scripturally baptized, we welcome you to partake with us this morning. This is an ordinance. It cannot save you. It does not save you. It doesn't bring merit or any form or anything up. No, we are simply acting this morning in obedience to Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of Him. Let's take a moment of silence this morning to reflect on Him, on His cross, and what it means. And don't you forget, doesn't make any difference where you're from, what your mindset is, what your thought process is. He died on that cross, and everything He took identifies with you. He knows you inside out, and He loves you. Let's go ahead. We'll bow for prayer. And then I'll close us just a little bit, and we'll have the men come.